The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles, who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, the gospel lesson just read. The title of this sermon is Crumbs from the Heavenly Banquet. Some people are born to wealth and prosperity. Some people are born to families with household names and political clout. Some people are born with intelligence or good looks or talents that propel them to fortune, success, and fame. And then there are the rest of us, me included. The story in our gospel lesson is about the rest of us and how we fare in the kingdom of God. One day, Jesus and his disciples took a trip far beyond their usual place of ministry. Jesus normally worked in the synagogues, villages, and countryside of Galilee, along the Jordan River Valley, in Samaria, Judea, and in Jerusalem during festivals. These were places inhabited or dominated by the Jews. On this trip, Jesus took his disciples to the province of Phoenicia, where there were very few Jews. This is the state of Lebanon today. Verse 21 says, "He withdrew," which implies a short vacation from work or a retreat to rest and renew. Even as God rested on the seventh day of creation, so too Jesus rested from his labors on occasion. During this rest and relaxation retreat, a woman who lived in the region heard that Jesus was near. The lady was neither a Jew nor a Samaritan, but a Canaanite descended from the original inhabitants of Palestine. The Canaanites who lived in the land of Israel had been slaughtered a long time ago by God's command during the conquest under Joshua. And before that, Noah had cursed his grandson Canaan with these words, quote, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." Genesis 9, verse 25. The curse was punishment to Canaan's father Ham for failing to honor his father. Thus, for the Jews, the Canaanites were the lowest of all peoples, with no redeeming features except for their use as slaves. And the lowest of slaves at that. When the Canaanite woman found Jesus, she cried out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." The title Lord is significant. It indicates she believed that Jesus was of a noble class. The title Son of David indicated that she believed that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. In this greeting, the Canaanite woman proved to have more insight into Jesus' identity than even Jesus' own disciples. It was only later in Matthew 16 that Peter was the first apostle to recognize that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus at first rebuffed the woman when she requested the exorcism of her daughter. He told her in verse 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And notice that he said lost sheep, indicating that the Israelites as a nation had fallen away from the true faith in God. The Jews worshiped God in the temple, but their minds and hearts were far from him, as the prophets often complained. The Jews had festivals, but they used the festivals only to have a good time, not to honor God. The Jews had fasts, but they used those fasts to impress people with their piety, not to spend time in prayer and the study of God's word. But in spite of all this faithlessness, the Israelites were still the people that Jesus was called to serve, and he stuck to that commission. In the discussion with the Canaanite woman in verse 26, Jesus used an analogy of a dinner table with children seated and eating with their parents, while the dogs were waiting for scraps of food to fall from the table. The children in this analogy were the Israelites. The parents were God. And the dogs were the Gentiles. That's you and me, by the way. The woman understood the analogy and accepted her status. She pointed out that even though the Gentiles were not worthy to enter the temple or its courts in Jerusalem, they still could enter the outermost courts. In the Messiah's kingdom, she believed that the same would hold true. Jesus then gave the Canaanite woman praise with these words, "O woman, great is your faith." Only a few people who met Jesus ever received such a commendation. How great is your faith? And that included another Gentile, a Roman centurion. Then Jesus spoke the words, and her daughter was healed instantly, proving his power over Satan's kingdom and that the Gentiles were also part of God's plan of salvation. What doctrines do we find here in this text? The first doctrine pertains to the evil angels, also known as demons. Although the Bible does not tell us much about the angels, either the good ones or the bad ones, they are present throughout the scripture. The Bible gives many examples of demon possession, as well as their being cast out, as we see in our text. The king of all the bad angels has many names in the Bible: Satan, Beelzebub, or simply the devil. Finally, the book of Revelation in chapter 20, verse 1 to 3, depicts Satan being bound for 1,000 years and then being released for a very short time. Lutherans understand this binding of Satan to be referring to the preaching of the gospel, which hinders the work of Satan until the last days. The second doctrine has to do with the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles, and between the Old and New Testaments. Jesus' own personal work of ministry on this earth was limited to the Jews, but not absolutely, as we see in this text. His apostles would go out into the world after Pentecost and preach the gospel to all the nations, both Jews and Gentiles alike. In the apostolic church, the Jews were always given the first opportunity to hear the gospel. As Paul writes in Romans 1:16, "The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles." The Jewish people had a favored nation status in God's plan of salvation, and this was because of his promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and other children of Israel. Now, this does not mean that they can enter the kingdom of God apart from faith, but that they are loved on account of the patriarchs, Romans 11:28. For this reason, the entire Old Testament is part of the Christian canon of scriptures, and not only because they foretell of the Christ. What is the law application of this text? In verse 23, we see Jesus' disciples, who were Jews, trying to keep the Canaanite woman away from Jesus. There was a bit of ethnic and religious prejudice going on here. Even so, there are many Christians today who either want to keep people of other ethnic groups out of their church or have no interest in converting them. I had an officer in my congregation in Oak Park, Illinois, who told any visitor who came in the door who was African American, Asian American, or Hispanic that they were not welcome at our church. Although I told him and the other officers this was wrong, he did not change his behavior, and I had to deal with that for 11 years. He didn't even change his attitude on his deathbed, and I was there. Christian congregations should be open to all people of all races and ethnic backgrounds, although we know the Lord's Supper is limited to those who've been properly instructed in the small catechism, know what they are receiving with the bread and wine, and can confess that. What is the gospel application in this text? First, we see Jesus' power over Satan in verse 28. As he casts out the demon just with a word. The demon has to go when Jesus says, go. Even so, demons have no power to possess Christians who believe in Jesus and confess his name. Similarly, we see Jesus' power at work today through the preaching of the word, through baptism, the keys, and the Lord's Supper. All these means of grace encase the powerful word of God and the Holy Spirit, and that drives out Satan and his crew and keeps them at bay. Third, in verse 28, we see that membership in God's kingdom is not conditioned on race, wealth, power, good works, or other earthly attributes, but only on faith. Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith." She was great because she feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things. He's what made her great. Because she had nothing but faith, no earthly attribute distracted her or gave her a false confidence. She believed in Jesus, and like Abraham, God credited that to her as righteousness. Even so, all people who have faith will be credited with righteousness and so be saved eternally. May you always seek the crumbs from God's table, that is, his word and his sacraments, so that you too may join the heavenly banquet when his kingdom comes. In Jesus' name, amen.